Hello and welcome to the Access Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Vinny Massana. We're joined here by a special guest, John Corey, owner and operator of Freedom Baseball, and also the owner of the Yard Sports Academy here in Deer Park, New York, where we're filming today's podcast. John, you have a unique background with baseball. You know, your father's from Lebanon. Not a lot of people can really relate in that, with that dynamic where, you know, you weren't really spurned to play baseball from your upbringing and your parents, the way a lot of people are. So talk about that dynamic of growing up. That seems like a unique situation.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I, you know, like you said, my father was from Lebanon. I didn't really have a connection with him through baseball. They didn't have baseball in Lebanon. So it was really something that I was kind of born with. I felt like baseball was kind of in my blood. It was just a passion I had from a young age that really just pushed me to work hard and try to be successful at something. So mm-hmm. having him as somebody that wasn't in the baseball world, it didn't deter me from trying to be anything in the game of baseball. It actually, I think, it drove me to kind of just pursue my passion and try to show my dad that I could actually achieve some things in baseball that he was unfamiliar with. So mm-hmm. while it didn't help me, it did drive me in whatever way it did to just catapult my drive and show him that you know, baseball was a great sport and that you could really become something through the game.
Mm-hmm. So then where do you think that love came from, and what were some of your earliest memories with baseball? Any players in Major League Baseball that stood out to you that you tried to emulate?
You know, I had an older brother that played the game, and I think maybe I saw him play the game and I wanted to connect with them, and it kind of, I think, sparked my interest in baseball. Mm-hmm. And there was just some type of comfort when I got on the baseball field. I just felt at home mm-hmm. with it. And, you know, it was something that I can't really describe. My passion was just, whether it was sparked from my older brother or whatever it was, it kind of came out of nowhere, and it just was just deeply seated into my blood somehow.
Mm-hmm. So now you were born in Baldwin and moved to California. What do you remember about those days in California, the California baseball landscape? You know, obviously the weather being different, is that something that maybe ignited your passion for the game even more, because being able to be around it in such a hotbed?
Yeah, I definitely think where I grew up, I was pretty lucky living in California. I grew up in a town called San Ramon, and it was a valley town, really pretty, a lot of mountains around.
Where is that geographically?
It's in the San Francisco Bay Area. Mm-hmm. So it was, how do I say it? A couple hours from Sacramento. It was a San Francisco Bay Area. I don't know how exactly to explain it, but a valley town, mm-hmm. outskirts of San Francisco. And it was definitely beautiful. The weather was great. It was just it was a great place to grow up playing the game. You mm-hmm. know, just really great atmosphere.
Watch any Barry Bonds games?
You know, I grew up a San Francisco Giants fan. I definitely loved the Giants growing up, and the A's, Ricky Henderson. Mm-hmm.
The Bash Brothers, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. McGuire. There was Will Clark I used to love on San Francisco. So I definitely had those guys that I was looking up to and definitely trying to become one of those guys from a young age. I loved the game. I loved California, and it definitely got a good start to my career mm-hmm. From a young age.
Definitely. So now you moved back here, attended Oceanside High School, part of the 2002 state championship team. Tell us about your fond memories of those days. Obviously, you're a key contributor on that team, leading the team offensive in all the major categories. So what stands out to you about that year?
I was really lucky, I think we had a very, very talented group of guys at Oceanside. And I always remember, ever since I moved to Oceanside from California, that we just had a lot of really good baseball players in Oceanside. Just mm-hmm. the talent was there, whether it was the Little League did a really good job, you know, just organizing things to where people wanted to play. But I just remember being surrounded by really good baseball players, mm-hmm. Good baseball people. I played with guys like Nick Conte, Billy Weitzman, Dom DiDomenico, Johnny Jatta. There was just a lot of good guys, a lot of good baseball life. Our coach Andy Morris, he was good for us. He had a brother in the big league, so there was a lot of baseball knowledge there. Mm-hmm. So we just had a great time together. We enjoyed playing the game. We all worked really hard. We played with each other in leagues outside of the high school too.
So there was a lot of camaraderie.
There was a lot of camaraderie. just a lot of good vibes, and we had this winning attitude that was it was just really special. You know, we kind of took the field and expected to win, and it was really just the whole group of guys that really created that winning competitive edge, I would say. You know, obviously we had the talent, but just like you said, the camaraderie and the expectation that we were the best, and you know, we were going out there to prove something.
Yeah, and I'm sure as you guys got closer to that championship, you know, mentality is such a big part of the game. I'm sure you guys felt like you belonged and that you wanted to really close the deal as you're getting closer.
Oh, absolutely. I think we had confidence in each other. You know, when we had guys like Billy Weitzman take the mound, or Nick Conte take the mound, or Brendan Springstubb take the mound, we had confidence they were going to compete, they were going to throw strikes, they were going to, you know what I mean? They weren't going to be easy to beat. You know, we had a special staff. I mean, these guys were throwing, you know, anywhere from 88 to 92 miles an hour. So they,
high school players don't see that.
You don't see that every day. That's why it was a very special group of guys. So, you know, having guys like that and the offense that our team produced, we really had a shot to win every game. You know, so it lifted the morale. It just made us feel like, hey, we're the guys to see, and we're, you know what I mean, we're the guys to beat. And it really, it kind of set something up really special in life to be on a winning team, to get to feel what that's like. You know what I mean? And so I really feel like that was a great experience for me and a lot of those other guys to get to win a state championship, to get to compete with the guys that we did. So yeah, it was an awesome experience playing at Oceanside.
So now, one of the things that has changed in the Long Island baseball landscape is the absence of Briarcliff, which is where you went on to play ball. For our audience that may not know, tell us about your time there, your experience, some of the key players that, you know, you played with that you might or may or may not have relationships with still to this day.
So yeah, Briarcliff was it was an interesting place. You know, playing in high school, I didn't have a lot of opportunities. And I was putting up good numbers, but for some reason just the opportunities weren't there. So I actually played with a couple guys from Oceanside, Nick Conte and Billy Weitzman. They both went to Briarcliff, and they had actually mentioned to the coach there at Briarcliff, Jack Bryant, hey, you got to go see this player in Oceanside, John Corey. So so Jack came down, had a really good game. He ended up signing me, offering me, you know, a partial scholarship to go there. And when I went there, I had a lot of expectations because Jack Bryant was kind of the main guy around to help you, you know, really go on after you played junior college baseball at Briarcliff. So unfortunately, you know, when I got to Briarcliff, Coach Bryant was no longer going to be the coach there. So it you know, put some obstacles that I wasn't ready for. Luckily, we were very, very talented. We had a lot of really good players around. You know, some of the guys I played from Long Island at Briarcliff were Kevin Salmon, who ended up going to Coastal Carolina, really good guy, really good player. Did a great job over there. Ended up getting drafted by the Phillies as a pitcher. Mike Valter was another one who went to Coastal Carolina out of there. He was from New Jersey. George Athanasopoulos, really, really good hitter. A lot of guys that probably should have went a lot farther in the game. There were so many good players that I played it with Briarcliff. But yeah, so the experience there was good. I actually redshirted my freshman year. I had a hamstring injury, and I came back my second year and had a good year there. But it was good, man. We got to play against a lot of high level junior colleges. We would travel. We'd play in Arizona. I know they would go to Texas. I don't believe we went to Texas that year I was there, but yeah, we ended up playing a lot of the Yavapai, a lot of the really good junior colleges. Right now, I mean, I believe they played San Jacinto. There was just a lot of really good talent, really good baseball, really opened my eyes to what's out there. So that was a really good experience, but I did have a lot of success over there at Briarcliff, and it did offer me another opportunity to play out of there.
Yeah, and before we segue into that, just one last point on Briarcliff. A lot of people that might not fully understand the importance of just getting to play college baseball in general, you know, I think there's a stigma about going the JUCO route or going Division III, and people don't realize that if you're good, they'll find you anywhere. I mean, you mentioned Kevin Salmon ends up getting drafted. Who would think, you know, you go from Brentwood to Briarcliff is not typically the route that people go, but he threw 94, he got signed. You know, you went on to play professional baseball, and you went a route that most people don't. So what can you tell an audience that maybe doesn't understand just, you know, that You could play. You could get found from any place.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get hung up on I want to play D1. That's where I'm going to have my opportunities. And there's truthfully, there's so many options. I mean, the junior college option is one that I definitely try to. Not that I'm trying to steer guys in any direction, but I want to bring awareness to what the junior college baseball scene is like. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was a lot of really talented baseball players that either didn't have the academics mm-hmm. or wanted to come in with more of an opportunity to play first year. Mm-hmm. you know, there to me are a lot of reasons that guys would play junior college baseball. And it really, again, if you want to play professional baseball and you're good enough, you can get drafted your first year.
I was going to say that. That's one of the biggest benefits of it, yeah.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. The other thing is you get, like I said before, the opportunity to have more playing time early. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're getting that opportunity to be on the field. And if you do well on a junior college level, most people don't realize that a lot of these D1 schools out there, they like to recruit off of a junior college, you know, from a team. They've
already got because, their feet wet at these the college level.
Exactly. They have their feet wet. They've been playing, you know, and it's good competition. So these colleges take it seriously.
Especially a D1 JUCO where you're playing the best of the best, right?
Absolutely. I faced guys that were throwing in the 90s, you know what I mean? They had the velo. We had hitters that were, you know, popping home runs, hitting the ball hard as anybody on the D1 level. So the baseball was really good. I would tell people to open up their options and to look into that. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people, especially the ones that I spoke to, really want to find that four-year home. They want to be comfortable. But if you're a baseball player, you know, naturally you're going to have to be sometimes sent to a place where maybe you don't want to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to kind of be ready to get up and go.
Yeah, if you get drafted by the Yankees, you're not going to Yankee Stadium day one. You got to climb the rungs and start in Charleston and play in Tampa, and some people probably don't even factor that in.
Exactly right. So to me, I mean, again, there's a lot of value in the junior college baseball because it just kind of it sets you up a little bit. It lets you get your feet wet. It lets you go out there and play and create some opportunities that you wouldn't had out of high school. I wouldn't have had the opportunity to play where I did out of Briarcliff out of high school. You know what I'm saying? So it definitely is a stepping stone to get to a better level that you may not have had out of high school. And I think it's a great option for people to really start taking a little more seriously.
Mm-hmm. So as you mentioned, that gave you a better opportunity. So let's talk about your time at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. A lot of people probably don't know that about you, or they thought maybe you went to the regular Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between Corpus Christi and the regular program, and talk about your time there?
Yeah, so there's Texas A&M College Station, and there's Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Mm-hmm. They actually have a bunch of other campuses, Texas A&M Kingsville. Mm-hmm. And basically the difference between A&M College Station and Corpus Christi is College Station is the big one that you see, they're the Aggies. They're the ones you see, the football team. They got a great baseball program. They're a bigger school than A&M Corpus Christi. But A&M Corpus Christi is in the Southland Conference. It's a really, really beautiful school. It's an island in itself, the campus. And we got to play all the great D1 schools. Our Southland Conference is made up of a lot of really good schools, including Lamar University, Nicholls State, McNeese. I believe UT Arlington. There's a lot of really, really talented schools, basically. Mm-hmm. So the difference is it's a different conference. We're not as – Corpus Christi isn't as well-known, obviously, as College Station, but it was a phenomenal place to play baseball. I got opportunities there to play against the top programs, Rice University, University of Texas, Oklahoma State. So the difference is just different campuses, and obviously we play different teams, different conferences, but both very, very good baseball schools.
Yeah, one of the things that we spoke about when we first met you is just – you know, that high-end college baseball, getting thrown into the fire like that, 55-game season, high expectations, you're really getting treated like a man, and, you know, without the pay, obviously, so you have to, it's really for the love of the game. What can you tell us about that, playing in that competition, especially the inherent bias of coming from New York? So, as you mentioned, you know, people probably didn't think you belonged. You probably dealt with that a little bit.
100%. I would say as soon as I got down there, I had a minor altercation with one of the players that it wasn't a fight, it wasn't anything, but it was a little bit disrespect that came my way. Mm-hmm. And I had every intention of going down there with a great experience. I wanted to make friends. I wanted to have a great opportunity down there.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, I kind of nipped it in the bud, and I brought that guy to the side, and we had some minor words that was like, you know, I'm coming down here to help this team to be a part of it. I wasn't going to kind of take any crap, even though I came from the north, but I definitely faced adversity. Mm-hmm. Come from the north. The mentality in Texas is that we don't need anybody else. Mm-hmm. Texas baseball is where it's at. You know, we don't really need you. So being faced with that was, in the beginning, maybe a little difficult, but I definitely overcame that, you know, just through hard work, showing these guys that I was there to be a part of the team and really help them.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't coming down there to steal any light or coming down there with a cocky attitude. I wanted to play what I thought was the best baseball in the country. So, it was difficult in the beginning, but I definitely got, you know, comfortable with the guys, and then and they definitely opened their arms and welcomed me in, and I made some of the best friends I've ever made.
Yeah.
So, but the baseball was tremendous. You know, these guys, the weather was unbelievable down in Corpus Christi. I mean, talk about hot. You know, so we got
from opening weekend.
Right away. There, yeah. Man, you know, January we're practicing outside. We're so it was just different. It was different from being up here in the cold weather. We really got a lot of work done down there. Practices were long and grueling, but you know, I learned a lot, and I was able to have experiences that I couldn't dream of. You know, so it was a great experience. It was difficult. The pitching was very good.
Mm-hmm.
The hitters were very good. So
I wanted to get into was the quality of pitching and also dealing with the mental side and the game of baseball is always going to throw curveballs at you, literally and figuratively. But now let's just talk about the mental side. You're 0-3 in a game down there. You know, maybe you get pinch hit for. Maybe you're in there, and their closer isn't there. That's something that made you tougher as a player, having to deal with that failure probably for the first time of your career.
Yeah, you know, I was used to being the star hitter, you know, and when I went to Texas, I think the first few conversations I had with some new outfielders coming in were, "Hey, how you doing? I'm John Corey. I'm the new center fielder." What are you talking about? I'm the new center fielder. I'm Dave Williams. I'm the new center fielder. Oh, I'm the new center. So it was like, wait a minute. Okay. All right. We're all really talented players, and we got some things to figure out. So I think in the beginning, because I started the first game, I was the starting outfielder. And I did pretty well, and I was going well. And then I kind of got into a little slump, and I didn't expect to be taken out of the lineup. And I was taken out of the lineup.
Yep.
And another player was in, and I was sitting the bench for a few games in a row. Mm-hmm. So that really
it
built me up. It made me tougher, but it made me realize that, hey, nothing is going to be handed to you. You know what I mean? Especially here where they're not looking for the New York guy to be the star. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If anything, they're looking for the opposite, for you not to be the star, all right, and to prove that Texas baseball is better. So definitely faced with some tough adversity, and mentally it got to me a little bit, but you overcome it and you just work harder and you realize that, hey, you know, nobody cares about your emotions or, hey, I want to play that's great, kid. We're going to put who's going to help us win.
It's the ultimate meritocracy out there.
Absolutely.
Everything is earned. So how about your chance at professional baseball? Tell our audience how you wound up in the position that you were following college.
Yeah. You know what? It's one of those things that as a player that performed my whole career, you know, I was a little bit discouraged because I thought I was putting up the numbers that I needed to. I thought I was showing the tools that I needed to. I had the power. I was hitting for average. I had a great arm. I was an athlete. I was a fast runner. I was a big athletic kid. So professionally, the way I got the professional ball was so backwards. It was completely backwards. I didn't really understand why I didn't go in the draft. There were certain things, but I to be 100% truthful, I kind of was my own worst enemy in the classroom. And that's a huge thing that I wish, if I went back in time, that I would have spent so much time in the classroom just paying attention, focusing on my schoolwork, keeping myself in a good position to play baseball.
Yeah.
All right. Because if in college, if you don't keep your grades up, you're not going to be on the field. And that was an issue that I had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not too proud to admit that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, my professional career came in a backwards way. And if I could go back in time, like I said, I would have just done so many things differently in the classroom. I would have been more focused on just being more of a well-rounded person.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that would have opened up a lot more opportunities for myself because I went undrafted. You know, I ended up signing a professional contract, but it wasn't a Major League Baseball. It was an independent baseball. So, like I said, if I could go back in time, there would be a lot of things that I would do differently. But I ended up, I kind of battled through, even though I had my obstacles in the classroom, and I ended up, you know, obviously getting to play some professional ball. I don't know if you want to talk about how I mm-hmm. ended up doing that.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so I mean, basically after college, after my senior year, I had some trouble in the classroom. I ended up coming back, right? So I didn't get to play in the playoffs of my final year. And perhaps scouts saw that as a weakness, which mm-hmm. was very likely, and I wouldn't blame them for that. So after college, I came home, and I was playing with this team called Long Island Storm, and mm-hmm. super talented team, really awesome experience for me. Mike Lederman, amazing guy, the owner of the Storm, he always put together just the most unbelievable team, whether they were ex-big leaguers, guys that just got released from minor league ball. And we would do tournaments, we would travel to different countries, and we would compete against other professional teams, and I mean we were like the best thing mm-hmm. around. We would compete with the major league teams in Dominican Republic. We played against Licey, Escogido, the Tigers down there. So we were just really handed some cool opportunities.
Yeah.
And I was doing really well with them, and actually I had a buddy of mine that was telling me, hey, you know, you're pretty good, you should probably go on and play some professional baseball. So for me at that time, I kind of thought, all right, you know what, it's a dead end now. I didn't get drafted. I didn't know what to do. I said, you know what, though, I love it. Let me go and try. I actually ended up playing in this league called the New York State League, which, you know, really helped players kind of go out there and compete, and they helped you gain some opportunities. So mm-hmm. I ended up getting sent over for a tryout with the Washington Wild Things. And it's funny because the coach came up to me after and he's like, who are you, man? He's like, why aren't you playing anywhere? And I'm like, you know what? I don't really know. I'm trying to, you know, get myself back in there.
Yeah.
And he ended up signing me, and I had a phenomenal year with them. I ended up hitting over 300 with that team. And then I had some personal things happen where mm-hmm. I was going to have a baby. Mm-hmm. I was engaged to be married, and then I was going to have a child. So I says, you know what? If I'm going to continue to play the game, I have to do it locally. So mm-hmm. I could be a father, I could be there for my daughter. And mm-hmm. and thankfully, Long Island Ducks gave me an opportunity to come in for spring training, and I made that team, mm-hmm. which was awesome. And I got to play there in
alongside former major leaguers.
I made some great friends there. Mm-hmm. Lou Ford, who's actually still there, the head coach.
He won the home run derby.
Yeah, I became really close with Lou. We actually, mm-hmm. We got on a training program together, and he actually made it back to the major leagues the following year. Mm-hmm. And we worked out together for like 5 months. I mean, unbelievable mm-hmm. What happened with him and how he got back there. So yeah, I mean, it was just such a cool experience to get to play some professional baseball. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, I my career, I felt, was definitely cut short and not as, you know, long-lived as it should have been.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get faced with things in life and you have to step up to the plate and do what you feel is right and, mm-hmm. you know, the best thing for your future.
Yep. And speaking of that, you wound up staying involved in the game and segueing into the next phase of your career, starting Freedom Baseball. Tell our audience about that in 2012, how that came about, and how you guys have really grown since then.
Yeah, we started the program in 2012. We actually started just training some ball players, you know, staying in the game and mm-hmm. Just wanted to be around it. And really the reason that I started to do this and really create Freedom Baseball is because I wanted to help the Long Island baseball players, the youth baseball players here, to really help kind of create a path and help them, you know, create a smoother path for their future and mm-hmm. teach them about things that got in my way and how they can try to avoid it and the realities of what, you know, happens, yep. you know, with the distractions or whatever it is, or making decisions where to go to college. I mean, there's so many things that happen uh-huh. that get confusing and you don't know what to do. So I figured, you know what, if I can stay in the game, I can help other, you know, baseball players find their path and reach their highest level. Mm-hmm. That's a fulfilling career, you know. Mm-hmm.
And how have you guys grown in terms of the team since you started?
Yeah, the teams, it's an interesting thing mm-hmm. because there's a lot of competition on the mound. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in order for people to really take you seriously, you have to be one of the better teams, mm-hmm. you know, or else they feel like you don't know what you're doing or how are you bettering baseball players. And, you know, for me, Freedom Baseball wasn't about recruiting the best players around and going out there and just kicking everybody's butt. It was mm-hmm. about, all right, how do we bring in players that have the right mentality, that want to get better, and want to have a good home. And how are we going to take those players, develop them, put them on the field, you know, to compete and develop, and then ultimately be seen by college coaches? So it's not a perfect science, you know, this the travel baseball teams, the Freedom Baseball. We've had teams that have been very, very good, and we've had teams that have struggled, you know, but we try to focus on, all right, hey, let's develop you guys. Let's give you guys a good atmosphere to play in where there's no stress, there's no fear. You know, I feel like one thing we do very well is that we try not to put pressure on the guys. As a baseball player, I struck out thousands of times. And you hit, you know, so I feel like a big
thing. You mentioned you almost encourage the failure. That way they learn how to bounce back from it the next time.
I don't think you should fear failure. You know what I mean? That ultimately, failure is a great tool for you to grow and to learn from your mistakes. So for me, sometimes I tell my guys when I see them nervous, I say, hey, I don't care if you strike out right now. Go up there, no fear. Go hit the ball. If you strike out, so what? It happens. You know what I mean? So for me, it wasn't about how many championships we can win. It's about how many good kids, how many good baseball minds can I bring in here and help? You know, some kids, some players, they think they have it all figured out and they have an ego already. And some of those guys, they have to go learn the hard way. But I just, here, I wanted to develop teams by bringing in good kids that want to get better and hopefully making championship quality teams. But it is definitely not an easy thing to do. You got to get the right people. You have to have the right coaches. You know, everybody's got to be all in and, you know, buy into the thing. So it's
There's a lot of moving parts. A lot goes into it.
So yes.
We'll leave our audience with this. If they would like to get in contact with you to join or try out Freedom Baseball, how can they do so?
Absolutely. Well, first I would say go to our website, freedom-baseball.org. Check out what we have going on. We do have tryouts coming up on November 3rd. They can also contact me at the Yard Sports Academy, which is our home facility in Deer Park. The number there, if people wanted to contact, is 631-667-9273. You know, I give out my personal cell phone right now, but I don't think that'd be a good idea. So I would say do that. They can also write an email to us at freedombny@gmail.com if they're interested in trying out or coming in for private lessons or whatever it may be. I also, just to, if I can, talk about a side thing that we do. I have also another business with a former scout, Pat Short, called Baseball Futures, that we really help get these kids homes in college. We find the baseball teams. We help them communicate, do videos, all that stuff. So we do have another tier as well. So yeah, but I would say go to the website, contact us, give us a call, write us an email, and that would be the best way to get in touch.
Awesome. Thank you for your time, John. We wish you continued success here at Freedom Baseball. You have a very interesting story. We hope that could provide inspiration to somebody that's in a similar situation, maybe where they didn't have, you know, the upbringing where their father was a former major leaguer or anything of that nature, that things really would help to boost your career, where you really, you know, had a unique path. And for that, I think you deserve to be recognized for that. So thank you for your time very much, John. And to our audience, thank you for joining in on the Access Baseball Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Vinny. Thanks for the time.